Hi and welcome to the latest Honest Modern Dating Podcast. And honestly, in this one, I had two competing topics in my head that I really wanted to discuss and give and share to you. So I decided to do the next best thing and give you both. So in this, we're going to be talking about recipes for love and how to talk to anyone. Because honestly, both are just equally as important. So what the hell do I mean by recipe for love? Recipe for love is honestly a thing that I've been working on recently, and it's been really breaking a lot of grounds with people when they come to their relationships and understanding what they feel and also understanding what someone else feels. But how do I describe it? It's like everyone has a recipe for love. And usually it's approximately three things. Now, I want to get rid of, you know, people often say, I ask them, you know, well, what do you need to be happy in a relationship? It's like, well, I need to feel loved. I need to feel respected, all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, that's too esoteric. We're not really getting to the core of it. Like, and I kept asking people, like, well, what do you need to feel in order to feel love, you know? And respect itself, I love respect, but when we get into the core of these three things, often having someone respect these three things, that's respect. So when it comes to deciding your recipe for love, let's get rid of that whole idea of just respect, because that comes naturally, or at least it comes naturally to people that you're interested in. Now, when we are uncovering your recipe for love, we just want to ask you, how do you feel love? Because for some people, and to give you a more concrete example, for some people, love feels like it's, it's spending time together. For me, that's a really big thing because time is one of the biggest precious gifts that we have. And you've probably heard me say that a lot. For some people, it's honestly just feeling that you're heard. For some people, it's just knowing that you have a rhythm in your relationship. You know where the other person is, you know what they are. For some people, it's just going out. It's like they want to go out about town. It doesn't have to be often. It has to be like once a week or once a month or something like that. And we have these things, and you could describe them as musts, you know, things that must happen in order to feel loved. And so I want to ask you now, what must happen for you to feel loved? You know, does he have to give you things? Does he have to listen to you? Does he have to touch you? Does he have to want to spend time with you? Does he have to prioritize you above other things? Or does he have to just include you with his friends? Or, you know, this kind of things. And it's really important to know how you perceive love, like what gets you really excited and what makes you feel whole. Because if we don't know these things, then what happens is when we're missing one of these elements, we end up going back to someone that we know or something like an ex. You know, people always say, like, why do I keep going back to my ex? And that's my impression of every person, man and woman, just by the way. And the reason is because we're missing an element. We're missing an element of this feeling. Now, I want to point this out because as humans, we do chase feelings. You know, we really do. And when it comes to feeling love, the feeling part of it, we're chasing that feeling of the love, but it's often because of three things that need to happen, at least three things. And normally I say three things because often any more than three, and we're just like splitting hairs, you know what I mean? So, and this is what happens. Like, for example, some people might feel that they just want to feel included in someone's life. And if they're dating someone who doesn't necessarily include them or include them to an extent which helps them feel like they're being included, then you don't necessarily feel that love. You might have two or three. When you have only two or three, it doesn't really feel that substantial. It doesn't really feel like it's going anywhere. And that's where we end up trying to go back to exes, or we go to food, or we go to movies, or things like that, in order to feel something that we should be feeling somewhere else. Now, what I find is that the more you can understand this, so I want you to take some time to write down, like, what three things must happen. They are musts. These aren't like shoulds. These aren't things that are like, oh, this is okay if it happens or not. No, these are things that have to happen explicitly. And it's not words like respect or love, because this is a recipe for love, and respecting is respecting your recipe. So it has to be three things that someone has to do, or three things that you have to feel in order to feel loved. And when these things are met, then your life becomes a little bit better and a little bit happier. And you actually find you can operate better in the rest of your life. Now, what's also important to know is that, you know, often I find love is a very spiritual practice, because we learn more about ourselves, we're exposing ourselves In order to have a relationship that lasts, you are tested. You are tested in the most loving way with someone who loves you back. And often I find people often say that, the biggest, longest relationships are always, it's always based on work, right? It's always based on it's like reconnecting with someone, and it's doing these little things and knowing that someone's recipe for love can actually change over time. And if it does, then that's not a bad thing. It just is what it is. So we just have to understand it. But what is your recipe for love? You need to take some time now to figure out your recipe, because without knowing what your recipe is, then you're going to have a little bit of a bad time. Because then when you feel like you're not loved, you won't know what's missing. But when you have your recipe for love, and we're going to reverse this very soon, when you have your recipe for love, then you can help someone love you. You can say, I'm not really feeling like you're very present with me. Can we spend some quality time together? Which there's nothing wrong with saying that. In fact, if you say that to someone, they're actually going to be happy because you're very clear. You're giving them clear instructions. How often have you ever been in a relationship with someone, or have you even been a friend with someone who you're saying, can't you just do this one thing for me? And they're like, I don't know how. Because really, at the end of the day, we don't necessarily know what our own recipe for love is. And I've repeated the word recipe for love so many times, but the recipe for love, that's so goddamn important. We need to know our own recipe, because then we can troubleshoot. And then we can communicate what we need better at a deeper level. Now I want to reverse this. Because what's their recipe for love? If you know their recipe for love, then and only then can you give them more of that. Because if his recipe for love is something like, for example, for me, it's time. For me, it's being able to explore and grow together. And for me, it's to be able to express myself like fully and deeply for who I am at a very core level, And for example, if those are my things, if we were dating, for example, and you give me those things, I'm going to feel like $1 million. And if you give me those things, I'm going to feel like $1 million around you, and I'm going to want to spend more time with you. That's the case. And this is why I find a lot of people get addicted to business, for example. I really like I said, time before, when I'm just for personal life, whenever I do a talk or a workshop or things like that, at the end of it, I feel like a king because everyone has given me their time and I've given them my time. So that's my recipe for love, getting fulfilled at this profound level. And you find when you understand his recipe for love, and how do you find that out? I'll tell you in a second. But when you understand his recipe for love, then you can fulfill these needs at a profound level, and you're going to enrich his life, which is going to make him want to come to your life, and it's going to be this amazing relationship because you're making each other feel really good. And what is the basis of a relationship? Just making each other feel really good, or, as I would like to say, appreciation. Now, how do you find out his recipe for love? In a previous podcast, if you haven't listened to it, listen to them all ever and share it with all your friends, because we're getting to number one in the sexuality section in iTunes, that we talked about attraction triggers. Now, attraction triggers, if you can look at it, is basically just the content of their recipe things. Because normally people have three major things that they get excited about, It might be that they get excited about business, or it might be that they get excited about work, or it might be that they get excited about hanging out with friends, things like that. But if you look deeply at it, then we want to break it down to an even more core level. Because, for example, if they get excited about hanging out with friends, what is it they get excited about hanging out with these specific friends? Like I said before, for me, one of my biggest things is raw expression. And you've heard me talk about that before. But if one of my biggest things is raw expression, right, and we break that down, the people that I'm best friends with are the people that I can express myself rawly with. If you see my two best mates, and you probably heard me talk about them before, there's Dr. Dan and Luke the librarian. They're two people that I can be myself really fully with because I've known them for most of my life. In fact, I've known them for more years than I've probably been alive than I have been dead. More than half of my life. There we go. That's a better way of explaining it. And that's how I feel love. So how does he feel love? And I'm using myself as an example because I want you to learn how to read other people. This is the kind of stuff that I really wish was taught in high school or was taught in primary school. It's a word that I want you to write down. It's this infamous word. Not a lot of people know it, but it's called motherfucking empathy. We just need to learn what empathy is and how to read other people to give them what they want. It's as simple as that. We just need to know where someone is at and give them that. Because if we can't, then maybe they're not a good connection for us. But if we can and they like it, then they're going to want to spend more time with you. It's as simple as that. So how do you read between the lines? You know, I can give you the short answer and it's going to piss a lot of people off, but it starts with E, it's called experience, you know, learning to read these things. But if you want to figure it out at a deeper level, a simple exercise you can do is called the five whys. And what that is, you know, figure out maybe if you want to brainstorm this, like honestly, this is one of those things that you shouldn't really, this is one of the things you want to develop as a felt sense, like something that you feel in your body and you kind of trust yourself over. You don't want to be on a date and be like, so what's your recipe for love? Do you want to, do you like presents? I give you more presents. I don't know why it was that accent had to come on. But, you know, we don't want to do these things real time because the more you're in your head, the more you're dead. And we don't want to be that kind of person. But we do want to learn how to trust our felt sense and to trust our intuition when it comes to reading people. Because people leave clues about what they're attracted to. And so as an exercise, as a writing exercise, I want you to do the five whys. And, you know, honestly, not a lot of you will actually do this exercise. And if you do, send me an email, harvey@gethimhooked.com. And I will be like, wow, you're a really cool person. But, you know, a good majority of you people that listen won't actually do it because it can be intimidating or it can be scary or things like that. And I get it. But the people that do the exercises are the people that actually are the ones who succeed. So I want you to break it down. And just with someone that you know, maybe you're in a relationship with someone or maybe you're not in a relationship with someone. And you can look at a past relationship. Or if you've never had a relationship, look at a friend's relationship. But you want to ask the question of just five whys. So, for example, if he likes hanging out with his friend, I'll use me as the example. Oh, why do you like hanging out with friends? That's why number one. It's like, oh, because I feel really comfortable. I really like to spend more time with them. They make me feel really good. You can ask again, why? Why number two? Why do they make you feel really good? They make me feel really good because, or they make him feel really good because he really likes, he can express himself. He can be a kid again. He can laugh and not be judged. Things like that. Ooh, he can be a kid again, or he can laugh and not be judged. Why is that so important that he can laugh and not be judged? It's like, well, and I'm using myself as an example, so you're going to get some really deep insight into me, because this is only why number three. Because I'm always so on point. You know, for example, in my own life and things like that, especially when you're a coach, you have to be on point all the time. So to have a relief, to have a pressure relief where I can be this rapscallion or someone who is not necessarily really, not necessarily who's been held accountable for things you say and things like that, that's really nice. And then you ask, why is that really nice? Why is that really nice? There's only one number four. And it's like, because if I was to answer that personally, I would say, because that's how I used to be as a kid. You know, I kind of touched on that before, but that's how I used to be as a kid, and it's comfortable, and it's amazing. It's how I used to be when I was around my family. It's around my cousins. It's around my friends. It's how I used to want and imagine and envision my future life to be, and things like that, especially with my most intimate relationships, you know? Why? And the last why, which is often the hardest question to answer, and if you can't answer these questions, it's because you haven't thought deeply. The last why is, why is that so important? And it's like, because that's how I feel love. And we get to this conclusion, and then we can understand it better. So the other thing I really wanted to talk about, with this, you want to understand your recipe, but do this exercise, the five whys. You might come up with many tree branching exercises, things like that. You might come up with a lot. It's so important to do this just once so you can get used to thinking in this way. It's all it is just digging a little bit deeper. Because if he doesn't want to spend time with you, maybe it's because he's not feeling loved. And honestly, you really want to find a guy who can value communication just as much as you do. Because honestly, if he can't express that he's not really feeling loved and things like that, then maybe that's something that needs to be worked on. I don't know. But a lot of women are like that as well. You know, a lot of people, let's just use the word P, the big P word, the big long P word. People, we don't necessarily We don't a lot of people don't necessarily know how to express themselves. So that's why I really am a promoter for learning to read between the lines, because honestly, when you can read between the lines and give someone what they want without them having to ask themselves, it's like, you know, their soul, you know, they really feel like you're connecting with them. And that's so important, because, and that's how a lot of people do feel love, is just having someone look after us in that sense, the way our, you know, our parents used to, or the way that we, it just makes us feel special because someone's so present, that is so present with us, that they know and can read through us. So the other the other thing I really want to talk about is how to talk to anyone, and how do you talk to anyone? And I do have my program on this. I call it the Hook Point. And the technology that I've developed is, that's a really good foundational course. If you want to learn how to talk to anyone, the technology that I've developed is, it's far surpassed that. That's a really still course. I recommend it. You can get it on my website. It's www.gethimhooked.com. If you want to learn how to meet guys anywhere, that has a lot of foundational things. That's really good to understand, you know, just, learning to read people, how to connect with people, how not to get kind of rejected, things like that. But what I'm learning is that a lot of people are even afraid to get up to that first step. And it's because they have a lot of anxiety, and this anxiety can tend to stop us. And what is anxiety? I would describe anxiety as, it's just a signal that you're missing a step. You know, your body is physically telling you it does not know what to do. And when that's the case, sure, you could use willpower to force your way through it, or you could use what I call domino theory. Now, domino theory is knowing that if you have a whole bunch of dominoes lined up, if you scale them, so if the last domino is this giant domino of being a relationship, in a relationship, the domino before that doesn't actually have to be as big. And the domino before that doesn't actually have to be as big. And the domino before that doesn't actually have to be as big. And the domino before that doesn't have to be that big. And you can break something down into a million little dominoes, where the first one can just be like a few millimeters high to knock down a giant domino later on. And when that's the case, often when we're interacting with someone, when we're being in a relationship, or if you just want to see that cute person and you want to just say hi and you're feeling anxious, it's because you're missing dominoes. It's because you're missing some steps. So we want to break it down, and we want to break it down into such a minute, fine domino that you can achieve it no matter what. Because when you achieve that first step no matter what, it makes it easier for the next domino to go down and the next domino to go down. Because often what I find is a lot of people, you know, there's people who really want to be social, and they emotionally beat themselves up because they're not engaging with that person that they think they should have, is that they're just missing steps, you know. And then they punish themselves for missing steps. They go, why am I not a social person? They get out their whip and they flagellate themselves, and emotionally flagellate themselves, sorry. And they don't necessarily realize that anxiety is just a signal. That anxiety is just a signal that you're missing a step. So we got to break this down into a simple checklist. And if you want to meet new people, you know, honestly, if you want to have a conversation with someone, what's the biggest domino? If your biggest domino is you see a cute person, you want to go on a date with them, then what do you have to do? Let's break that step down. So if you have to actually, if you want to meet someone and go on a date with them, you probably have to organize a date. You know, whoa, that sounds crazy. Now, all this is going to sound really moronic until I get down to most minute domino that is always possible. You're going to learn this. It's going to be insane. So first we have the biggest domino, right? Which is go on a date. So the one after that, like I said, is probably organize a date. But what's the one before that? Is probably they got to like you, you know? And that's one, it's kind of hard to control, you know? And I teach a lot about that kind of stuff. It's how to, because you can't force love, right? You know, I say that a lot, but you really can't force love. You can only influence it. You can only understand how, you know, other people's recipe for love. You can always give them that, you know, connect with them more, things like that, make them feel present, things like that. The things that influence it, but you can't control it because you don't necessarily know all the elements. Plus, if you could control love, it'd be called slavery. And I'm not into making slaves. But before that, so they got to actually like you. Before that, they actually have to spend time with you and have a conversation with you. It sounds crazy, but it's fucking true. Because when these things actually need to happen. So what happens before that? Before we actually have a conversation with them, we actually need to say hello. Now that is the scariest bit. You know, often when people get up to the hello part, they're like, this makes so much sense. I know what to do. It's totally like that. And you know what? When I was first learning the whole dating world and the whole relationships world and things like that, when I was, you know, I was recently broken up with my partner when I was, it was several years ago, the girl that I was totally in love with and I thought I was going to marry her, Actually, I found out recently she got married, so congratulations to her. I'm glad she found someone that matched with her. But, you know, I went out and I was just like, I'm just going to talk to new people. And oh boy, was I fucking terrified. I would only be able to make myself talk to new people if I literally forced myself, like, I spent the entire day thinking about it. So at the end of the day, I was in a crazy fucking frenzy. And honestly, I'm not a big drinker. You know, often when people say, like, but I drink, and that's fine, and I can do it when I drink. It's like, yeah, you can do it when you drink, but take if you can't take it out when if you can't do it when you can't drink, it's not a character right there. It's not part of who you are. So you want to make this part of who you are. And a lot of people struggle with that. A lot of people struggle with that initial conversation of like, hi, how are you? Like, what do I say? What do I do? Honestly, if I ask you now, what was the first bit of content that you heard when you actually engaged with me? What was that? You know, how did we actually meet? Do you even remember? Do I even remember? You know, how did you meet your best friend? What was the first thing you say to your best friend? You know, with Dr. Dan, one of my best mates. I don't remember the first thing I said to him. I really don't. And it's really funny because I remember going home and telling my, we actually had a chat about this on the weekend, actually, you know, because we met on orientation day for the first day of high school. And, you know, he was, it was really funny because he was really excited. He was really excited that he made an awesome friend. And I was really excited. I made an awesome friend. I remember going home to my mom and being like, I made a friend. He's got cartoon eyes because he's like, the color of his eyes is so dark. It like matched his pupils. And I was like, whoa, he's got cartoon eyes. I've never seen that before. I was this little kid, you know, but there's an innocence in that little kidness because when you're a little kid, everything's new and everything works. You know, you're just excited to meet people. And, you know, we grow up and then someone hurts us and it just makes it easier just not to say hello. So this is why we want to break it down. Because when you're talking to someone, it's okay. But what's the domino for talking to someone? You know, the first domino, before I give you that missing domino, the domino that's going to change your life, if you use it correctly, by the way, you know, I can tell you this. And if you just know it and mentally masturbate over it and don't implement it, then it's not going to get you anywhere. But what's the first domino? You know, let's go back from the start. What's the first domino is you see that person you want to talk to. You see that person and you're like, wow, I think they're attractive. And then usually there we freak out because we're thinking, oh God, I got to knock down that big domino. I got to climb Mount Everest and I don't even have my shoes yet or I don't even have my equipment yet. So we're missing a step. We're missing a step from the initial see that person to the hello. And sure, we could see that person and take those first steps, but what's that missing step? That missing step is what I would refer to as appreciation. You know, what is the very core or foundation of love? What is the very core or foundation of attraction? If we boil it down, if we reduce it down like a simmering, sexy sauce that we reduce down becomes very thick. I love my metaphors. It becomes basically, it's just appreciation. You know, it's appreciation for someone else's existence. It's appreciation for someone else's maybe just physical appearance because you don't know them yet. And when you get to know them, it's appreciation for their character. Things like that. And if that's the foundation of love, I've never met anyone who didn't go up and say hello to someone that they just didn't have a profound appreciation for something about them. You know, some people call it attraction. I call it appreciation. When you think about it at appreciation, you just have to appreciate that person. And then some people beat themselves up because they say, but if I appreciate them, then I'm not going to say hello. And that's where you're fucked up. Because what we have to do is realize with domino theory is that every step is just as important as the last. You know, you have to actually award yourself mentally for every step. If you want to go and be that kind of person, you can talk to anyone, especially someone you're attracted to, then every step, just because like that little domino is a few millimeters high and that final domino is like 10 meters high and it's this amazing relationship or whatever it could be, every step is just as important as the last. And if you miss that, then you're going to miss out on the experience. So if you're beating yourself up because you haven't jumped from 0 to 100, then that's what's going to stop you. So we actually have to start to train a new mental habit, and this will affect the rest of your life as well, not just in dating relationships. Because how often do we beat ourselves up because we didn't get the results we wanted? Why? Because we just missed a step, because we didn't know the steps. And then we beat ourselves up because we actually didn't appreciate all the actions that we took to get there. You know, that happens to me all the time. Honestly, every time I beat myself up emotionally is because I'm forgetting to appreciate every single step that I'm doing in the meantime, you know? And so when it comes to appreciating someone, when you learn to just fully in that moment appreciate, maybe because it's just, you have this hypothetically in a situation where you've only just seen someone's physical appearance, right? It doesn't actually, like, purely physicality, not necessarily their physical, like their character, because you haven't spoken to them yet. Maybe you've seen them interact with people and you think they're a really cool person, but at the core of it, it's just appreciation for who they are on that outside surface level. And I've never met anyone who just wasn't so welled up with that appreciation, that attraction in that moment that they had to say hello. You know, I remember years ago, and we dated very briefly and we just became friends afterwards, that I was walking down the street with some friends and a girl walked by and gave me a smile, and it was one of the best smiles I'd ever seen. And I went and said hello. You know, and she was carrying some hot chocolates. And if you're listening to this, hi, she was carrying some hot chocolates because she was giving it to some friends. And she's like, do you want a hot chocolate? I was like, no, but let's swap numbers. And we just, you know, we hung out and stuff like that. It was really nice. And now she's no longer in Melbourne and things like that. We're friends. You know, we're really good friends. It's actually been years. And yeah, it's really funny because then she had a boyfriend. And yeah, I'm not going to get into it. It's this whole thing. It's this whatever. I made it sound worse than it was. Anyway, so that in that moment, you know, all we did that created that smile was have appreciation. And the reason why I'm telling you this also is because, honestly, you know, I've given people the challenge of just saying hi to people, that anyone they make eye contact with, right? But some people can't even do that. And if you can't do that, then you just have to start appreciating people more. And you're like, but I do appreciate people more. It's like, do you just appreciate people without wanting to do anything else in that moment? You know, because sometimes, for example, if you're at the gym and you see someone cute at the gym and you're appreciating their physicality, you might find yourselves in an opportunity where you get to express that expression, and you're just expressing it for the sake of expressing it. There's just that raw expression. And then after that, maybe you can get into an actual conversation. You know, that's basically it. So as always, thanks so much for listening. This has been the latest and greatest of the Honest Modern Dating Podcast. As always, let's get to number one of the iTunes sexuality section. Bring down Hannah Riley, who's number one. She's an amazing person, but she's got my place. It's number one. So we're going to get there. So as always, make sure to share this podcast with everyone you know. No exceptions. No exceptions. Your grandma, she's got to hear it. And I'll make sure to tune in next week with the Honest Modern Dating Podcast. Bye.